Genesis 3 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain shall you bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, that he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.' The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." I thank you, God, that you, though we sin, are merciful, and you have made a way, God, to redeem sinful man. This morning, as we hear more about you and your creation, We pray, God, that you would cause us to believe. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. So we opened up with Genesis chapter 3 because I want to teach on the spirit world and dealing with the spirit world. And there's a lot of different places that I would like to go with this. The problem is that I can't go everywhere at once. So I have tried to follow a sort of flow of information, bringing it down tight. This pertains to some of you guys. We're in the conversation that we had last week. This will pertain some to that. And this is, I'm going to discuss, a lot of what I am putting forward is coming from presuppositions that I have from what I believe is scriptural. And I'd be happy to show you that scripturally, but in this teaching, I'm not going to go into depth on that. So I'm going to be making some comments, some statements, and moving forward with a particular direction. I want to begin with looking at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 3. And maybe I want to tie in first Genesis 3. We're dealing with the serpent speaking to Eve and the what takes place there in that discussion. To make the point, what is happening is the serpent comes and says, in effect, I know something you don't know, and I want you to know about it. But God does not want you to know about it. And so what I want to give you, the information I want to give you, is going to make you like God. So it will be good for you. It will be beneficial. The problem is that he came with craftiness, subtlety, King James says. He comes with craftiness. And in this craftiness, he also comes as a liar. So there is truth in the conversation that Eve has, or the serpent has with Eve. The serpent is telling the truth. There is something that Eve does not know. And the tree itself is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the serpent says that you will know good and evil. But he is not truthful about the repercussions of this knowledge. I'm going to discuss more to the point of the repercussions and how this plays out, but it's very important that we understand what is happening in Genesis chapter 3, because this pattern happens over and over and over and over in history, in your life, and in my life. This is the Christian life. It's either the lie or the truth. Which are you going to follow? We are all going after some sort of knowledge. But how are we attaining that knowledge? How are we getting to that knowledge? We're all learning something. But where is that knowledge actually coming from? Is it coming from doing what God has said to do? Or is it coming from the serpent, from Satan? Are we following a lie? Are we becoming like our father, the devil, and following lies? Or are we following after our father of truth and following after God, the truth, okay? And following in obedience to what God has said. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 12, it says, when you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. What are these abominable practices? One, there shall not be found among you any who burns his son or his daughter as an offering. Anyone who practices divination, or tells fortunes, or interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a medium, or a necromancer, or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations which you are about to dispossess listen to fortune tellers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. So, don't do what the Canaanites did, offering your son or your daughter as an offering. Divination, fortune telling, interpreting omens, sorcerer, medium, charmer, necromancer, one who inquires of the dead. These types of things are an abomination to the Lord. What do these things have in common? A couple of things. One, God said not to do them. And I think that that's the most important thing, because everything else that comes out of a conversation that you will have with an individual will come down to, ultimately, everything else can be kind of nuanced one way or the other, but ultimately it's all going to come down to, does God say that this should happen or not? Right? And that should be our framing for life. Has God said that we should do this or not? But all of this comes down to that God has said, don't do these things. But there is something else that's common about these items, and that is that they are all seeking to interpret what's going to happen, to learn something, to gain a knowledge, or to gain a favor, to change some spiritual, have some spiritual influence. Like, so we want some rain, let's sacrifice a kid. Okay, something of that nature, right? Really, though, it is about life. A strange thing is how it gets twisted around that way. We want to have good fortune. We want a good harvest. We want to have a good growth. So I'm going to take my child and I'm going to kill my child. That way the gods will favor me. Moses goes before Pharaoh. God had told Moses to do something with his rod. It's actually going to be Aaron's rod, but Moses did it to begin with. But Aaron takes his rod and he throws it down. You remember what happened to that rod?
It became a serpent.
Right, became a serpent. Okay, now this is not figurative. This is not as a type. It's not like, well, it looked like a serpent. This rod, this piece of wood, turned into
a
biological creature, a serpent. Okay? You know what's really crazy about it? Pharaoh's magician says, don't worry, Pharaoh, we got you. And they threw their rods down. And when they did that, those rods became biological creatures also. Serpents. Okay? This is not a fairy tale. This is the Word of God. Okay? Aaron's serpent then goes around and eats up the other serpents. Right? Aaron then reaches down and grabs it, his serpent, and it's no longer a serpent. It's a rod again. My point with this illustration that we have in Scripture is that these things that we're talking about in Deuteronomy 18, they're not fairy tales. They're not superstition. They're real. Okay? They are very real. Now, does that mean that there's not people who don't do, you know, strange things with them and tell lies about them? Like, you know, we're going to go, I'm going to read your fortune. And they look at the palm of your hand and one person says, oh, it's going to be this or this. That person's just lying. They really don't know anything about it. Well, it's true. Yeah, that's very possible. But there are also, these things are very legitimate ways of connecting to the spirit world. And to think that it is not, I think, is to miss the point. Because the point is not, look, I want you to be modern Israelites. Don't be so superstitious like those old, unknowledgeable people that are being driven out of the land, the Canaanites. They are so superstitious and so backward. What word? Gullible. That's a good one. Gullible. Right? Don't be like those people. Be more intelligent. Be more knowing. Okay? Be more astute, more intellectual. But that's not what he's saying. God is saying, don't do these things. That is not how you are supposed to find out. That's not how you are supposed to know things. Why? Well, we go back to Genesis. It's because those spirits that you will get in touch with will corrupt you. They are lying to you. They are telling you things that are real, but they're doing it in a manner that is going to ultimately bring you ruin and destruction. All right? So, what I want to do is I want to begin by talking about a development that's taken place in America, in the United States, here in the last several years. As the things that I am hearing, the things that I am seeing, it is becoming more mainstream. Perhaps you have heard about it, maybe you have not. I find that I am not as much in the news as a bunch of people are, so you might know more about this stuff than I. But what I am hearing about are UFOs, UAPs. Y'all familiar with that conversation? Yeah? It's kind of gotten into the media. They actually had congressional hearings in the last 18 months. They've passed some resolutions. And we did this 50 years ago, by the way. They did this like 50 years ago, too, where they had congressional hearings and stuff. But I want to talk about the conversation of aliens, UFOs, and UAPs. And I also want to talk about psychedelics. How many of y'all have heard recently about psychedelics endorsing, like, this is a good thing? Yeah, it's out there. This is something that is I think on the rise, and that's part of why I wanted to talk about it, to bring up what I believe is taking place with these things and how we should understand them. So, I want to start with some questions, make sure we're all on the same page here. But what is a psychedelic? Control. Nathaniel, what's a psychedelic? It is a beautiful sounding word. I love the word psychedelic. Just, I don't know, rolls off my tongue. I love it. Psychedelic. It is relating to or being of relating to or being drugs, such as LSD, capable of producing abnormal psychic effects such as hallucinations and sometimes psychotic states. LSD, do you know where it comes from? I just happened to run across this. I didn't run this down, but I thought it was very interesting. LSD is actually a combination, as I understand it, of two mushrooms that they do a chemical process to. Some substances coming out of those mushrooms that they do some sort of chemical process to, and it turns into LSD. Nowadays, what I am hearing, the psychedelic experience that I am hearing, comes from engaging in a medicinal application of mushrooms. Okay, particularly in California, there's a number of places I understand that you can have this done at. I find that there is a place in Alabama, College of Alabama, Alabama University, that delves into this, apparently. I did not follow all the little rabbit trails, but interesting how, in my opinion, this is becoming more mainstream. And that's the reason why I want to talk about it, is because it is getting mainstream. It is actually being taken seriously as an objective way to find peace, find what you're looking for. All right. Any questions on what a psychedelic is? You got a better term, definition, way of understanding it?
It's a chemical that you put in your body that affects your mental processing.
That alters.
Yeah.
It's It's a type of intoxication in a sense.
Yeah. And the intoxication, I think, is better to be better. Or I would state that the thing about the intoxication is that it alters your state of mind. That is more the deal than the fact that you're addicted to it, but that it alters your state of mind. Because I'm telling you, you want to find out if I'm addicted to something? Take away oxygen. You'd be amazed at what I will do to get some oxygen back. Okay? I don't know if that's technically an addiction. However, you want to produce a result when it's taken away, that will produce a result. Okay? This is not like nicotine, as I would understand it, where it does create a craving, a desire, chocolate, caffeine, those types of things. It is something that changes your mental state. Okay? It is, in my understanding, spiritually, you are unlocking a door. You are opening a door in your mind.
Okay? Well, the key differentiation between other intoxicants is the hallucinatory effect.
And that... Not physically there.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They're not there. They're not physically there. But in your experience, everything about it, it's almost like virtual reality. It's like a virtual, it's a chemically induced virtual reality experience. But you have no control over what will actually be seen in the virtual reality. Because it's not really there. It's virtual in your head. But it's so real that you don't know that it's not real.
The reason I emphasize this physicality of it is one of the guys that I listened to on psychedelics was mentioning the fact that what is interesting is you can have people from different cultures, different areas of the world that do not know each other, no relation to each other, that will it will describe seeing similar things, similar experiences. Okay, it's interesting to note. So that it is not. Because in the spirit world is real, but what we don't see, yet there is still things here. Okay, the Spirit of God is here, even though we don't see the Spirit of God, similar to the wind, right? Like type of an idea. Things that are physically apparent and yet are still real there. And so that's more why I talk about this like a doorway, like it's opening something in your consciousness for you to see, for you to interact with. It's like a gateway of sorts. Now, I speak as a novice in some of this and not having experienced it, just listening to other people's experience and trying to do a takeaway. In a heightened way, also. It heightens the experience.
I don't know about that. I mean, it could be.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't have to be. I mean, if the experience is, I don't know if it has to be heightened. It's just very, very real.
One psychologist has put, one guy that's been doing the medical investigation of this stuff that is touting its value in treatment of mental illness and things of that nature and addictions was noting how those experiences are far more lasting on the mind in the sense of recall than actual experiences. So. That's why I say heightened sense, but...
It's triggering areas that are making neuronal connections and stay for a while.
Yeah. Okay. Yes?
When you're saying physical, are you saying that some of these experiences are not hallucinations, but are real things being, like a vision or real thing being revealed, that's not reality.
So when we talk about, and I'm answering, but I want to go to like Balaam, who in his experience, he went into a trance. Okay, what Scripture puts forward that he goes into this trance and he sees and interacts, and then he'll make statements. All right, we have visions like with Ezekiel and so forth. What they were seeing, was that not real, or was it real? Was it really taking place, or was it not taking place? And we have the way I would understand it is, we have a perception of what real is, of what reality is. Okay, there are spirits, and those spirits are very real. And when you find a way to interact with those spirits, what you see is not a hallucination in the sense of simply imagining something. You know, I got my old friend right here.
His name's Joe.
Just ask my family. Joe's with me a lot. I talk about him a lot in our examples. All right. But you know, Joe is not real. He is my imagination. Okay, but that's not what I'm talking about. You're seeing something. They're interacting with something. What is it that they're interacting with? Well, it could be a figment of their imagination. I agree. But the problem is that is kind of defied by the fact that multiple people are experiencing the same place without having a common element among them, except for the drug, the hallucinogenic, the psychedelic that they are partaking in. And I would say that would prove that it is not hallucinogenic in that sense, that they are experiencing something real. And what we call hallucinogenic is a way of explaining it away. But
it could be both. I mean, it could be sometimes it is.
Which jives with the serpent.
Yes.
A mixture of truth and
yes.
A mixture of something that's real and not.
Yes. All right, so psychedelic. All right, but how about, if I say UFO, can anybody tell me what that acronym stands for?
Yes, sir.
What?
Unidentified flying object.
That is what they call it, yep, an unidentified flying object. But there is another term that is more popular, as in it is more legally accurate, and that is called a UAP. I had never heard of a UAP up until a couple months ago. You familiar with what a UAP is? Because that's what it's actually called. Huh?
An unidentified plane?
No, and it is an unidentified anomalous phenomenon. There's an anomaly, and it's a phenomenon. It's an unusual occurrence of something that's unidentified. So it's a bunch of I don't know. It's an unusual I don't know that I don't know about. Something like that. Yeah. I don't usually see things that I don't know like this that I don't know about. But unidentified anomalous phenomena. All right. These UFO UAPs are attached to a conversation about aliens. Aliens references the idea that there is life species outside of our environment, our planet, and that they are visiting our planet and that they are interacting with individuals on our planet one way or the other, nefariously or not. Any questions about that?
Nefariously. What do you mean by nefariously?
With ill intent. Or not. So they're abducting humans and performing experiments on them and leaving them deranged, physically altered, dead, whatever. No one ever finds them again. Or they're not. They're actually not nefarious. They're not coming with ill intent. They're actually showing up and just interacting or just observing. Or as some would say, they're just trying to keep us from blowing ourselves up with the atomic bomb. they're really good, in other words, like peaceful and all that. All right, so over the last 18 months or so, the United States Congress has been holding hearings on the government knowledge of the UFO UAPs. Also, in the last 4 years, there's been an uptick in the conversation around psychedelics. Joe Rogan, number one podcast in America, and others, where I first started hearing about this was from what I understand is the number four podcast, Sean Ryan, but it's been discussing and some even highly endorsing the use of an exploration into the psychedelic experience because of the mental health benefits which have been experienced. For instance, Sean Ryan himself, he is a veteran of the Special Forces who dealt heavily with PTSD, attempted to commit suicide a few different times, goes into extreme bouts of depression, alcoholism, aggression, among other things. He had a psychedelic experience, took psychedelics, went to a spiritual center, and in this experience he met something that spoke to him, that revealed a lot of things to him, and he no longer has addiction to alcohol, to cigarettes. As I understand it, he does not chew tobacco anymore, and he is a very level person. He used to not believe in God, now he does. He is a spiritual person, is the way that he describes it. He would say that he has found Jesus. Okay. Problem with that for all of the... Oh, and he's gone to church now for a little while. The difficulty that I have with that is that there is not a declaration of Christ, Jesus Christ, being Lord. Okay. Going to get a little bit out of order here, if I have order, but a little bit out of order because we see some of this taking place in Acts 16. Let me turn over there. I'll just go ahead and read this to you. We'll reference it again, but it fits well enough here. Acts 16. Maybe it's 19. It's not. I'm going to have to roll down here and look at it. It is 16. I just didn't see it there. Acts 16, verse 16. Yeah, okay. So much for my paragraph outline. This says Paul and Silas in prison. I think eventually they get there, but that's not what we're talking about. As we were going to the place of prayer, this is Acts 16, verse 16, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. What do we see in this first verse?
Divination.
Divination. God has said, don't do this. Okay, so we are not looking at a God-fearing individual here. As a matter of fact, she has a spirit of divination. So she has a spirit who is telling the future. And she actually brought her owners much gain by this fortune telling. She follows Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation." Anything wrong with this?
It's the truth.
It's the truth, isn't it? Wow! She's onto something. She really does know what the truth is here. Okay, they really are servants of the Most High God, and they really are declaring the way of salvation. But there is a problem. Because this way of getting to the truth is not how we're supposed to get to the truth. Jesus kept doing this for many days. Paul becomes greatly annoyed, turns around, says to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her," and came out that very hour. And she's a changed individual. She's no longer able to divine, to tell the future. She lost her gift, as it were, this spirit. And it was very obvious, okay? She was not doing something on, you know, just through practice of seeing how a person walks and talks, knowing where they come from, and gaining cues in order to speak generally about what's going to happen in their life, which does happen. Those are the con artists, okay? But she's actually doing something that people acknowledge is true, is real, okay? It's real. She's telling them things that are actually real, and they're paying a lot of money for this, okay? But it's gone now. The spirit has left. That spirit of divination has left. All right. I forgot one important point, and I don't know. I was talking about Moses, right? And the serpents. I mean, and the sticks being put down and become serpents and so forth when they pick it back up. When it talks about the magicians there, very interesting that the word for these enchanters with their enchantments, that word is actually a fiery sword. The only other place that we find that fiery sword in Scripture just happens to be Genesis chapter 3, where the fiery sword is what keeps people away from the tree of life. Okay? A cherubim was there with a fiery sword. Okay? It's a very interesting connection. I don't want to go in that direction, but that was a part of what I wanted to point out about this, okay? That there is something that they are connected to in the spirit world. This is not just, I can make something happen because I know how to make it happen. This is a connection to the spirit world where there is power, knowledge from the spirit world in order to enable an individual to do something, okay? Now, this should not seem spooky. If it does, I would say, whoa, 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 whoa. Isn't, no, this is what takes place with God Almighty and us, His beloved. It is God who empowers us. He gives us His Spirit, and through His Spirit, we do mighty works. He gives us knowledge and wisdom and understanding through His Spirit. This is not unusual, okay? But, I'll add a word. Hang on, let me stop. Let me stop. Okay, I could go back here. Acts 16, so these men, there is a spirit here, and that spirit is being used. That spirit is gone. And so the experiences that these guys are having through their psychedelic exposure and so forth, they are seeing results. But I'm back to Joe Rogan. I do not know about Joe Rogan specifically. I don't listen to his podcast. Anyway. But this guy, Sean Ryan, he actually... I listened to his testimony about what he would say, how he came to know Jesus. Okay, and I have problems with his profession of faith. All right, but that's between him and God. I'm just saying, you know, and my discernment would say, I'm still praying for the guy. May God give him grace, and may he find Jesus Christ. Or may he grow in the grace that God has given to him to actually make clear statements about who Jesus Christ is, okay? Because right now, he's not, all right? I hear him saying, you need psychedelics more than I've ever heard him say anything about you need Jesus. So, but the people are hearing about these experiences, and they're like, this mental health thing, it's a big deal in our country. And they're looking for answers about how to help people with their mental health. And there's a shift going towards, we're going to use psychedelics. Now, we've been using drugs. We're going to handle your this, that, and the other, your chemical imbalance, which is why you can't think straight or whatever. Instead of saying, go to the Word of God, learn the truth, speak the truth. So much power in speaking the truth. Say what's actually going on in your life. Okay? Acknowledge it. And, yeah. So, that's the psychedelic aspect. The UFO-UAP conversation. This conversation revolves around the U.S. industrial military complex and technology development. Now, the key point on this is that it's about technology development. That's a code phrase for, you know what? It's really in code. Knowledge. Okay? That's what it's about, knowledge. Technology development. We want to learn how to do something. We want to know how about this technology. Okay, so it's in effect, I'm trying to link all this together. We're talking about knowledge. I want to know how to do this. So the industrial military complex and technology development are kind of at the core of this UFO-UAP conversation. You ever heard of Area 51? Anybody know what Area 51 is?
Roswell.
What?
New Mexico.
Yeah, but it's something else. You almost said it there. You said Roswell, or not? I don't even know the name of the place.
Military base.
It's a military, it's an Air Force base. It's, what's the name of it?
Roswell.
Roswell, that's right, Roswell. Roswell Military Air Force Base. But it's an Air Force base, okay? We're talking about a military complex, okay? Just showing you the connection. And it is about trying to figure out this technology, UFO technology, okay? There's a few other different places that have been of significant interest to the military around the United States because of the UFO, UAP involvement. But the big point here is that this is about knowing technology development. The sightings of UFO, UAPs officially began after World War II around 1947. You may be familiar with the incident of the alien in New Jersey. In New Jersey, they ran that broadcast about the aliens landing.
Orson Welles?
Yeah, the Orson Welles. It was Orson Welles deal. Are y'all familiar with that?
Yeah.
Okay. It's an interesting event where people believed it because it was on the radio, and they actually went and did some lots of strange things. But it was supposed to be an alien landing, but that was 1938, just for a time reference here, okay? But all of this, the sightings officially began in 1947 and following. If I understand correctly, there were over 400 testimonies put before Congress over the last 18 months in their study of these anomalies. The technology exhibited in the sightings can seem to be real and extremely advanced, meaning that the objects are doing things that no technology that we know of today can do. Okay? Like, just if you, yeah, G-forces and whatnot, an object at motion or at rest going into motion at such an incredible speed right away with no sound, no engine, hovering over the ground, just stuff we can't explain with the technology that we collectively as the not the dark web but the light web could tell you about. We don't know about. It's far beyond what is commonly available to the public. The sightings indicate some advanced species far beyond our own. All right, so the two topics are related. Psychedelics and the UFO, UAP, alien conversation, they're connected, related, because of what appears to be the motivation behind the interest. And the motivation is the desire to tap into something that is beyond us. It is the motivation to know something beyond us, something outside of us. Is that motivation bad? Is that what I said next? Hang on. The motivation is not bad. As a matter of fact, I would say that it really is God created. It's a part of humanity. Okay? We're commanded to know. So I want to give you a biblical understanding of this motivation and the biblical teaching of how to interact with society, the people that are around you, in relation to wanting to know, wanting to explore, to find yourself. They want to find themselves. How do we interact with these people? How should we understand this? Now, the interest in what is beyond us is natural. Scripture says that it is good. Proverbs 18:15. Says, if you find it before I do, I'll let you read it. That's great. An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Well, a wise person, according to Proverbs, defined by Proverbs, says that it is the fear of the Lord. A person who fears God is a wise individual. That's the beginning of it. So everything that grows out of fearing God is where wisdom comes from. And when you fear God, what grows out of fearing God will cause you, will bring you into seeking knowledge. So don't think that there's some people that are like the Amish or, you know, certain like Mennonite sect and some others that are like technology bad, right? That's not where I'm going with this. I do not believe that technology is bad. I think I can show this scripturally, but I do not believe that Adam and Eve eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in and of itself bad. It was that God said not to. Because God created all and it was good. Okay? It was when and the fact that God said not to. Okay? So the seeking of knowledge is not the problem. Knowing the knowledge is not the problem. The problem comes, here's the problem. The problem comes in how we obtain that knowledge. How do we get the knowledge of what is beyond us? So Genesis chapter 3, the serpent promised knowledge. He showed Eve how to find that knowledge. And the problem came in two forms. The serpent encouraged Eve to find knowledge in a way that God forbade. And the serpent lied about the impact of the knowledge. You will see this pattern repeated over and over, like I mentioned. But this is the point here. You will see this pattern followed over and over throughout history. If you examine your own life, you'll find this pattern in your life. When you went beyond what God had said you were supposed to do. Children, obey your parents. Parents say, you don't need to know about that. You say, I want to find out about it. And you go and you find knowledge that God has restricted from you in the moment, right now. What you find is that knowledge becomes destructive. Okay? It's a cancer. It's an acid. It eats you away because it was not gotten in the proper, with the proper attitude, in the proper... Well, I have here that because you were not spiritually ready for it. Okay? How do we know that you weren't spiritually ready for it? That's it.
You didn't go through the wicked gate.
That's right. Absolutely. You did not follow God's process. At the point that you're willing to submit to God's process, what God gives you, you are spiritually ready for. And He will withhold no good thing from them that love Him. Okay? Yes. Yes.
I have noticed significantly people who are questioned about their condition will say, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual.
Absolutely. That's a key right there. Yeah, I'm a spiritual person. Well, what do you think about Jesus Christ? Yeah?
And they can't answer.
Well, I think he's a good person. The guy I told you at the hospital... Pray for the guy. CJ, they call him Crazy Jack, he says. Okay, I told you I thought he was demon-possessed or spirit-influenced, evil spirit-influenced anyway. But very strange conversations we've had. But yes, just ask. What do you think of Jesus Christ? CJ says, Jesus Christ is a very good person. I hate his father, but I love him. I'm like, that is impossible. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. I don't know what to say to that. Like, it is well worth considering. Go back and read this. Let's encourage you to read this. Okay? But yes, spiritual. I'm a spiritual person and can talk about all things spiritual. Take it to the root. What do you think about Jesus? No one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit of God. Okay? So, the pattern throughout history is that you will find that when you obtain knowledge in apart from following God, that knowledge destroys. When we gain knowledge or experience in a way that God forbids, which is called sin, we find something we are not spiritually prepared for, and the knowledge damages us. Why does the knowledge damage us? Did God create bad knowledge? Is there bad knowledge? Is there stuff that we shouldn't ever know about? That's just evil. No. No. All knowledge is created by God. All knowledge is created by God. And Genesis chapter 1 tells us that God created everything good. It is good. Now, how we apply it or how we learn it is where the problem comes in. No, we are not. We are damaged by the knowledge, and the reason why the knowledge damages us is because we are not spiritually ready for it. And we know that we're not spiritually ready for the knowledge because we seek to get it. We obtain it, the knowledge, in a manner not approved by God. All right. So, as a side note, I love this contrast here. It says, the punishment of God, the punishment that God brings for our disobedience when we seek and we get this knowledge in a way that God does not approve of, God brings punishment for our sin, right? Because that's sin. God brings punishment for our sin. The punishment for our sin, for our disobedience, is an antidote to the destruction we have introduced to ourselves. All of the punishment, Genesis chapter 1 again is a prime example of this. In their rebellion, they received knowledge that they were not ready for. God, in order to protect them, judged them. Okay? Part of their punishment, because you have done this, here's what's going to happen. And that is a protection to them. And so the punishment, the judgments that God brings upon us are for our protection, as an antidote to the destruction we have introduced to ourselves. Obtaining and getting knowledge is not wrong. The opposite is true. If you fear God, you will seek and get knowledge. I encourage you to read Proverbs chapter 2, 1 through 15 once sometime, because it encapsulates that, how if you fear God, it walks you through how you will seek after knowledge. Okay? Buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. God created everything there is to know, and it is good. Knowledge of itself is not destructive. It is how you obtain the knowledge that turns the knowledge into it is how you obtain the knowledge that turns that knowledge into something destructive. For example, procreative knowledge is a God-given, beautiful, and wonderful gift of knowledge. However, procreative knowledge gained or used in a way that God forbids is incredibly corrosive and destructive. So, to these two points, aliens and psychedelics, right? I believe that aliens are real. I'm just making the statement. I'm a believer. I do. I believe that aliens are real. I believe that they are an advanced species and have knowledge that we do not. I believe that humans are in communication with them and that they are helping mankind find knowledge. I believe that the aliens are spiritual entities, not what many people would think of as aliens, these little green men. Okay, I believe that these are actual spiritual entities who are in rebellion against God, communicating and interacting with humans. By species there, I use the logical definition, not the biological, because they are not biological. But they are individuals or objects grouped by virtue of their common attributes and therefore assigned a common name. So, I prefer the term like a demigod. You might call them devils, I think would be a reasonable term. I do not believe that you should call them demons in particular. As early as 1900, this is interesting history on the United States here, but as early as the 1900s, we publicly began to seek for knowledge. Notice this, I'm saying publicly began to seek for knowledge. We publicly began to seek for knowledge in a forbidden way through the use of horoscopes. First time horoscopes were put in the newspaper, syndicated across the United States, or whatever however large that newspaper was syndicated, was back in the early 1900s. The Columbia Journal, puts out and says it this way: when horoscopes were first started appearing in newspapers, they were confined to birth horoscopes for famous people, such as the 1916 horoscope of President Woodrow Wilson, which I find, interesting connection. And this appeared in the Boston Sunday Post. That is around the same time daily horoscopes began to appear, which were distributed by the McClure Newspaper Syndicate, best known for its syndicated comics. But there was no outcry, apparently, saying, God says, no, do not do this, enchantments. I got to go back up there and read that. fortune telling, telling fortune, interpreting omens, inquiring of the stars and so forth. God said, don't do that. And yet we're going to say that as a culture, we're okay with this, and we think it's fun. And we're going to put it in our newspaper so that we can be entertained by it on a weekly basis. This began something. What's interesting, 1900s, that the U.S. shortly thereafter doubled down on this by seeking, protecting, importing, and using the demonic German scientists and their experiments at the end of World War II so they could continue their research for the benefit of the U.S. There's a nasty history there about what the United States did in order to obtain and to continue these crazy prison experiments that went on. The United States gained much biological and technological knowledge from them, and we have advanced greatly in medicine and technology. The problem is that we did not bring them, these scientists, to justice for their evil and diabolical experiments. Instead, we welcomed them with open arms and said, we'll help facilitate you in what you're doing. Okay? This is devilish. This is doing like the Canaanites. What came out of that?
Destruction.
Yeah. We see immediately after that, into the 50s, we saw the free sex. We saw birth control. We see abortions very soon after that becoming legalized, and which is right on the top of the list there, what you're not supposed to do there, about offering, burning your son or daughter as an offering, which if you understand the history behind that idea, it is very much in line with the medical advancements that we have obtained apart from following God. Not that these medical advancements, that we shouldn't know this information. The problem is that we're not spiritually ready for it. And so what is happening is it's actually become a corrosive, destructive force in our society. And it is destroying the United States. Okay, now we have transgender, and we're doing crazy things with medicine in that regard. Just loving death. So it is not the problem again, though. This is not a hex on technology. This is that we are not bringing them to justice for their evil, and that we are gaining the knowledge in a manner that God forbids. So, again, to clarify, the knowledge we gain from this in itself is not bad. The way we've gained it, this is the key point. I don't know if you noticed that, okay? But over and over, this is it. It is how you are getting it, okay? The way we have gained it is vile and wicked. Because we have gained the knowledge in a way that God forbids, we are not spiritually ready for that knowledge, and it is destructive to society. Psychedelics, similarly, are a pursuit of knowledge. In this case, it's a pursuit of knowing or finding oneself, but it is not done in a manner that God forbids. It is the pursuit of spiritualism without God. Those who participate speak of a higher power, but refuse to proclaim the higher power, that the higher power is Jehovah God. They speak of believing in Jesus, but refuse to acknowledge He is the only eternal begotten Son of God, the Lord of all the earth. They refuse to submit to Him, like the damsel with the spirit of divination in Acts 16, which we read about. So the world is seeking knowledge, but they refuse to seek it in the way that God commands. They gain knowledge, but it brings misery. They do. They gain knowledge, but it brings misery, guys. It brings death and destruction because it's not sought of God. So how do we apply this? Where's I believe that this is a good general way of thinking about things, but how do we apply this in our own lives? And it comes down to, how are you seeking knowledge? How are you trying to solve your problems? We have money problems. We've got physical problems. Think of Gwendolyn. Think of Jan. Ruth. We have life going on, right? We've got mental problems. We've got relationship problems. We've got mechanical problems. How do you go about finding your answers to your problems?
YouTube.
Yeah, right? I used it yesterday. Praise God for it too. And I do. I thank God for it. Make sure you take that negative cable off.
This is a post euphemism for networking, basically.
Yeah. And the network is not bad. It really, but where do you start? Like, do you acknowledge that it is God that's giving you that information? Or are you saying, you know, we really are advanced? Yeah. Are you attributing this to yourself, to mankind? Or are you attributing it to the grace of God? Okay. Where do we end up at? We're not against technology. I do not see anything in Scripture that says no, that you shouldn't know. You know, the really weird thing about this is I look at all of this knowledge about the medical field and this desire to create eternal life, and I say, how unique. I think that God used the knowledge of good and evil and them eating of the tree of that as a way of producing eternal life, okay, through death. Got to have death introduced in order to bury the seed and it be raised in incorruption, okay? God uses the lies and the perversion of the devil to create beauty in a way that's just unspeakably wise. Wow. All right? But here you have all of this technology, this medical acumen, this understanding, and it's being used for very destructive purposes. But it wouldn't surprise me if in this, I'm not saying it's going to happen like this, I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me that they find the genome project is complete. And they find the fountain of youth, or the DNA, where that, I don't know. But they find it. They find that key to eternal life. But because they're not seeking it in Jesus Christ is actually the key to death, which it always is. But we have that in knowledge. And now it's been revealed to mankind. And in the submission of mankind to God, it becomes used in a wonderful way to really, like Isaiah says, that when a person dies at 100 years old, they'll be counted a child. Okay? God's promises are going to be fulfilled. Okay? I don't care how incredibly subtle the serpent is, and I think that the serpent's still trying to be subtle in his way. I know we can talk about it. But there is too much what I think we are. All right. One of the ways C.S. Lewis talks about this a bit in a number of his books, the Screwtape Letters he does in particular, there's another one too, but speaks of the fact that one of the ways that you throttle, subdue a society, prevent them from acknowledging God, is that you turn them into materialism, that they focus on things that are physical, that they refuse to acknowledge the spiritual. That is, you said it, not gullible. Yeah, that was the word you used. But that it's mentally undeveloped. People who think about spiritual things, you know, they're spooky and scared about this or that. That they're just not as advanced. You know, religion is the opiate of the masses. Like I think Marx is the one. Karl Marx said that. The opiate, it'll subdue them. It'll keep them under control, right? It's not for the superior race. Once you're intellectually superior, you'll put away all of that spiritualism, and that is a lie of the devil to help prevent us from finding God. That is one of the tactics that he uses, and in America, that has been used quite a bit in the mainstream. What I find interesting is that nowadays, you know, all of these perversions, the term that they put forward as they reveal how perverted they are is that they're finally able to take the mask off. Okay, I'm finally able to come clean. Finally able to tell you really what's going on and be my true self. Okay? Satan's like, I've got this lie going on, but in order to really complete what I want to do, I've got to take that mask back off, so that we can go back into spiritualism, so I can be your God, as it were, to destroy you, to eat you alive. Okay. I don't know if that was very clear, but there's a lot of connection in this, in how we should properly look at the spirit world. Okay, God is a spirit. All right, to not acknowledge the spirit world is to say that there is no God. All right, if you believe the scriptures, you believe in the spirit world. But a part of that spirit world is not saying that there's only one part of the spirit world, but to understand that there is all of the spirit world, which takes us to Ephesians chapter. Let's go to 2 Corinthians first. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh," physical, material, what you see, "though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh." It's something different than just this physical world. "The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power." A spirit world here. "To destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." How are we to wage this spiritual war? We wage this war by telling the truth, by casting down, as it said there, we destroy the arguments. What's it say in the King James? By casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Okay? We're casting down these imaginations. That lie is simply a figment of your imagination. That's not true. And the way that we fight against the spirit world, the way that we bring about victory, is through simply telling the truth. You must tell the truth. Psalm 51, David is crying out to God saying, "God, forgive me." What did he say that God desired? Truth in the inward parts. Tell yourself the truth. Quit lying to yourself. That is demonic. It is of the devil. It is satanic. Tell yourself the truth. Tell each other the truth. Do not live a lie. There's a guy that came out of communism. Not a Christian, but Common Grace. He wrote a little article, well worth a reading. I don't remember the guy's name, but it's "Live Not by Lies."
Zelensky.
Sir?
Zelensky?
No, sir, I don't believe so. I'll look it up. But "Live Not by Lies." Simply tell the truth. You want to defeat communism? The way you defeat communism is you don't believe the lie. COVID is not killing everybody. That's a lie. And it's a lie of the devil. It's satanic. It is. Do you realize how much mental health problems have come out of COVID? We've had tens of thousands of suicides because people were not able to socialize because they were restricted from living life the way that God has said we should live. And it starts with a lie. Live not lie. It is. I don't know how to say that. Say it again.
I say it's Solensky.
Solzhenitsyn. Solzhenitsyn. Thank you. Yeah, Solzhenitsyn. Yeah. No, it's awesome. Solzhenitsyn. Yeah. Live not by lies, but simply tell the truth. You destroy the devil. You know why Eve ate the fruit? She didn't tell the truth. Look at what she said. Has not God said, "You shall not eat of every tree that is in the midst of the garden"? And she said, "Yeah, we're not even supposed to touch it." That's a lie. That's not what God said. "Well, you know what I mean." No, because you didn't agree with me. Now you're trying to make an excuse for what you said. If you're like, "That's right," then I would say, "No biggie. We're trying to keep the truth here, right?" "Yeah, that's right. We're together in the truth." But you're trying to excuse yourself. "Well, you know what I'm saying." "No, I don't. You said something that wasn't true. Do you acknowledge that that was not true?" "Oh, you're just, what do they say?
Being difficult.
Yeah, being difficult, nitpicking. You know, that's not nice. Let's get along. You're just trying to argue. No, the truth matters. The truth matters because it is the lie. John chapter 8. I gotta get back to my notes so I can find what verse here. 8:43. Why do you not understand what I say? Who's talking here? This is Jesus Christ. And he's talking to the Pharisees, the religious people. He's like, you know why you don't understand what I say? I'll tell you why you don't understand what I say. It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. My word is truth, by the way, he says. You are of your father the devil. Your will is to do your father's desires. He's a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, which is Jesus' MO, he tells the truth. Okay? And that's how he brings liberty. That's how he brings salvation through the truth. And Pilate stands there and says, what is truth? Looking at the truth. Looking at life. Salvation. What is truth? What is truth? Why? Because he wasn't willing to accept the truth. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. He hears the truth. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. And may that be a convicting statement to all of us. When I believe a lie, that is not of God. And I am not of God in believing that lie. Okay? Tell the truth. Speak the truth one to another.